Good morning. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah is Yud Tes. We're on Yud Ches Amud Beis, and we're going to be starting a discussion this morning that's going to occupy most of our daf today, and that's going to be Megillas Tanis. If you're unfamiliar with Megillas Tanis, so first of all, you're not alone. Most people are unaware of Megillas Tanis. It's out there. You can purchase it. It's a piece of Torah Shebaal Peh, which is now more historic than it is halacha. Okay, so what is it? So Megillas Tanis is a listing of events that occurred during the Bais Sheni, during the Second Temple, in which we were saved. Unfortunately, we need a lot of saving during Bais Sheni. So during Bais Sheni, so we had the Greeks, we had the Romans. There was a lot of persecution, and so there were a lot of occasions where we needed a Yeshua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we davened and we received it. We received numerous mini miracles, if you will. That occurred. And some of them weren't many. Some of them were bigger miracles. Notably, Hanukkah. So Hanukkah, we always see Hanukkah as something that is outside of the world of Megillas Tanis. It's not outside the world of Megillas Tanis. Meaning, Hanukkah really is just simply part of the listing of days in which we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It happens to be Hanukkah got a little bit more publicity. First of all, our Gemara spends time, not our Gemara today. Although, yes, our Gemara today, but the Gemara in Shabbos spends time speaking about Hanukkah independently, but still, when all said and done, Hanukkah is just simply part and parcel of the tapestry of Megillas Tanis. Okay, and most of the days of Megillas Tanis we've never heard of because, quite frankly, we don't have a Seder. Megillas Tanis, we're not learning it. Okay. So with that stated, what does that mean? So it means the following, that if there's a day that's recorded in Megillas Tanis, so it's a quasi-yantiv, it's a mini-yantiv. Now, the truth of the matter is in Megillas Tanis, there are actually two levels of yontas for Megillas Tanis. So one level of Megillas Tanis is that you're not allowed to fast on that day. That's level number one. That's for like a, you know, that's for like a celebration, but a mini celebration. And then there were the really exciting days in Megillas Tanis where not only you're not allowed to fast, you're not allowed to eulogize as well. Okay, so those are the bigger yontas. Remember, every day mentioned Megillas Tanis is a yontav de Rabban. It's not a yontav de Raisa, obviously. You know, and they were all basically thank yous to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for providing us the Yeshua. But still, even within Megillas Tanis, you had small events and bigger events. And then, of course, even if you want to create a third category, which I'll do right now, and then there's like major events that are Megillas Tanis. In other words, like let's say like even higher level. And I'm saying that as we get to the end of this whole discussion today, which will come up on the Amud Beis, and that's Hanukkah and Purim. So Hanukkah and Purim are within Megillas Tanis, but they are like even one level above. Okay, well, how do I say that? Why do I say that? So stay with me. Well, when we get to the end of the daf today, or towards the end of the daf, you'll see why they remain in their own separate category. Okay. With all that stated, what does this have to do with anything we're discussing right now? So let's put ourselves now back in our daf. We're now discussing here in the first parak of Rosh Hashanah. So we're discussing the various months that the shluchim go out, right? The mission that we saw on the bottom of yesterday's Amud Aleph, so describes that there are 6 months where it's critical that shluchim go out. After basically made the determination of which days Rosh Chodesh, so now that information has to be disseminated, so shluchim are going to go out and tell everybody. How many months did they need to go out? So 6 months of the year, because in 6 months, so you had an actual event that was calendarically necessary to know when was Rosh Chodesh. And for 6 months, you didn't need to know when Rosh Chodesh was, meaning there was a Rosh Chodesh. But okay, well, we didn't need to know. The example I gave yesterday, which I'll repeat today, like this month is Cheshvan. Do we need to know when Rosh Chodesh is? No, not for Cheshvan. Meaning, okay, we went through the month of Cheshvan. Oh, for Kislev, we need to know when Rosh Chodesh is because we got Hanukkah coming up. Okay, et cetera, et cetera. Good. So that's so then it begs the question: What does our discussion about Megillas Tanis have anything to do with yesterday's discussion? So there, I'll ask you to wait just a little bit. The Gemara is going to connect the dots, but just be aware of where we are right now in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Itmar. With that stated, we begin Yud Ches Amud Beis. It's about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Gemara starts off Itmar Rav Rabbi Chanina Amri Bala Megillas Tanis. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amri Lo'abat LeMegillas Tanis. So, a debate amongst the Amoraim in terms of the halachic force of Megillas Tanis. Is it been nisbatel? Is it been nullified? Or has it not been nullified? So Rav Rabbi Chanin Amri Bala Megillas Tanis Hachi Kamar, meaning they're of the position that Megillas Tanis now is nullified. Why? Because here's what they're saying. Bizman Shiye Shalom Yu Lasasun Lasimcha. Ein Shalom Son. Vahanech Nami Kihani. So the Gemara says, because remember, what did we say yesterday? That days like Gimel Tishrei, right? What we call Tzom Gedalia, and Asar B'Teves, and Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. So they are a fluid fast day. Fluid, okay, meaning that if it's a zman of governmental oppression, so then they're fast days. If it's a zman of shalom, they're like these quasi yontifs. If it's somewhere in between, right? There's no gzera, but there's no shalom, so then optional, right? That's what we said yesterday. Again, that's not how we practice nowadays, but that's the Gemara yesterday. So the way Rav and Rabbi Chanina view Megillas Tanis is in a similar light, meaning that the days of Megillas Tanis are to be celebrated. And again, celebration, I already explained, means no fasting, for some of them, no eulogies. But Rav and Rabbi Chanina say that the same way that we framed Gimel Tishrei, Asar B'Teves, Shiva Asar B'Tamuz in yesterday's daf, so that's the same way we're going to be framing all the days mentioned in Megillas Tanis. Okay, which means now that once you have Korban Beis HaMikdash, once the second Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so therefore these days are not going to be observed. They're no longer in force. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amri, lo ba'at l'Megillas Tanis, hani hu did talin rachman abibinyan Beis HaMikdash, ava hanach kedekayme kayme. And as far as Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is concerned, so what we're going to do is we're just simply going to compartmentalize, meaning we're not going to dispute what we learned yesterday, that when it comes to the fast days that are related to the Beis HaMikdash, so then yes, so what, like we said yesterday, for those days when there's a Beis HaMikdash, those fast days are Simcha, or Yemei Simcha, and then after the Chorban, so those fast days now become fast days. But when it comes to Megillas Tanis, they are days independent of whether there is or there is no Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, according to these Amoraim, the days are still in force, meaning according to these Amoraim, so part of our scheduled learning should be that we should be learning Megillas Tanis so we know which days to celebrate over the course of the year. I'd venture a guess, I don't know if I'm right, I'd venture a guess that according to these Amoraim, so for these days, there'd be no Tachanun. I don't know if that's accurate, but in other words, but something along those lines. Mesiv Rav Kahana. So now the Gemara is going to go back and forth. In other words, what we're going to be doing now is challenging. But at least now we know how all this connects to yesterday's daf. Meaning, because yesterday's daf, we came to the conclusion that these quote unquote minor fast days for Churban Beis HaMikdash. So, how come they're not mentioned in the Mishnah? So what we learned together is that there are periods or tkufas in Jewish history where they're not Simcha, Yemei Simcha, and they're not fast days as well. So now what the Gemara is saying is that the way we looked at those days yesterday, so at least according to two Amoraim, so the same, we're going to look at the Megillas Tanis the same way. Good. Okay, so we connected the yesterday's daf to our discussion. But now that we're here, now that we're discussing Megillas Tanis, so we're going to litigate. So is Megillas Tanis enforced nowadays after the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Yes or no? It's a Machlokas Amoraim. And so for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to litigate this very point. So Mesiv Rav Kahana challenges based on the following Mesiv Gazru Tanis B'Chanukah Belud. So one time they were Gozer Tanis in Chanukah. Now Chanukah is one of the days of Megillas Tanis. Okay, and again, the popular one. We are all familiar with Chanukah. And what happened was is that for whatever reason, the Gemara doesn't give us the details, but they instituted a fast day during Chanukah. And Yad Rabbi Lazar V'Rachatz, Rabbi Lazar says, what, fast day? It's Chanukah. We're not fasting. In fact, I'm going to go bathe. And Rabbi Yeshua, Vistipa, Rabbi Yeshua also hears about the fast day. And Rabbi Yeshua's response is, it's not a fast day. This is Chanukah. I'm going to go get a haircut. And not only that, but they were very clear and critical. How can you make a fast day during Chanukah? Chanukah is one of the days of Megillas Tanis. Okay, so we are talking about the Tanaim of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua. And they are post-Chorban. And they are clearly following the days of Megillas Tanis. But which days are we talking about? We're talking about the days of Chanukah. So obviously, we can make a distinction. That's what the Gemara is going to try to do. I'm Rav Yosef, Shani Chanukah Dika Mitzvah. Well, by Chanukah, you know, it's not just that they're days of Megillas Tanis. They also have a mitzvah attached to that. Let's assume we're talking about near Chanukah. So I'm Rav Yosef, Viti Batal Mitzvasa. So Abai makes a suggestion, which is going to sound a little bit shocking, and that is, well, if the days of Megillas Tanis are nisbatel, so if they're canceled, so that means, okay, so there's no Chanukah. If there's no Chanukah, there's no mitzvah. Right? In other words, what's pulling what? So ostensibly, what Abai is suggesting is that the whether or not Chanukah is in fact a day that should be celebrated is really pulling the mitzvah. So once we lose Chanukah, so we lose a mitzvah. So Alam Rav Yosef, Shana Chanukah de Mefarsim Nisa. So Rav Yosef says, yeah, but no, but Chanukah is too popular. Now, that's probably not what he meant, but I'll read the Rashi. So Rashi, the Mefarsim Nisa, Rashi writes, Kvar hu galu l'chol Yisrael, ayidei shenagu bo ha-mitzvah, v'hechzika bo kishol Torah, v'lo nachon levatlo. Okay, I wasn't totally off base, but the way Rashi presents it is, look, because of the mitzvah, everybody's aware of Chanukah. And that awareness of Chanukah means that there's Pirsum Hanes. So what we can't do, even if we're going to suggest that the rest of the days of Megillas Tanis are nisbatel, what we can't do is we can't undo Chanukah because of its popularity and because everyone understands and is conscious of the fact that Chanukah is a Pirsum Hanes. Okay. Most of Rav Acha bar Rav Huna, so once again, we're still litigating whether or not the Megillas Tanis is nisbatel. So the Gemara challenges again, Betlata B'Tishrei, on the third day of Tishrei. Now again, what do we know about the third day of Tishrei? So we know is that that's the fast day of Gedalia ben Achikam. But right now, if we can all just, for a moment, just forget that. Right now, this is Megillas Tanis we're learning together. And parenthetically, Megillas Tanis is a blend of Hebrew and Aramaic. So this is another event that occurred sometime during Bayit Sheni. Or at least we right now think it's during Bayit Sheni. Or maybe a little bit afterwards. So Betilta B'Tishrei, on the third day of Tishrei, Betilta Adkaratam and Shtayara. So you know what happened? It was an exciting day. So they were Mevatel, this thing called Adkarta Min Shtaraya. Now what does that mean? It means as follows. The Gemara is going to give us the background. Shigazra Machos Yavin Gzera Shalal Asker Shem Shemayim Apiyem. So first of all, we're going to start with Gzera. And the Gzera was, is that the Greek said to us that you cannot say Shem Shemayim. You can't mention God's name. Nowhere. And not in any kind of documentation. And now we had a rebellion. So, right, that as per Chanukah. And so we were victorious. So now what do? We went in the total polar opposite direction. Okay, they told us we can't say Shem Shemayim at all. So now the direction we're going to go, we're going to say Shem Shemayim all the time. On everything, both religious and even secular documents. By secular documents, I really mean loan documents. So, afilu b'shtaros v'kacha yukosum b'shnas kafakach liyochanan kohen gadol lekel alyon. So you're writing shame shamayim even on a loan document. Ukishesham uchachamim medaver. Now the chachamim heard this and the chachamim said, "Oh, that's not correct." Armu lamacher zeparuos chavol v'nimsa shtar muta ba'ashpa uvitlam va'osu ayam asu yamtov. And so the Chachamim recognize what's going to happen. So you know what happens with a loan document after the loan is paid up. So now what the bar is going to do is he's going to take the actual note itself. He's going to tear it up. He's going to throw in the garbage. And what's going to happen to Shem Shemayim? So the Chachamim begged and pleaded that everyone stop doing this. Meaning, mentioning Shem Shemayim in religious documents, that's great. But mentioning it in monetary documents, not good at all. And when finally, when the people listen to the Chachamim, oh, so the day that the people listened to the rabbi, what an exciting day. So they made that a quasi-yantiv day. A Megillas Tanis day. Good. So they threw into Megillas Tanis. Now, v'isak adatcha. Now, at this point in time, when did this event occur historically? Sometime post-Chanukah. That's all we know. But was it during the second base of Mikdash? Was it after the second base of Mikdash? Let's assume right now that it's after the Churban Bayit Sheni. I know that's a funny suggestion, but let's assume that. So now the Gemara asked the question. So now let's go with the Shita of Rav and say that Megillas Tanis is nisbatel. So the Gemara says, so now if that's true, and we're right about our assumption, but of course we're making an assumption. If that's true, so boy is that confusing. So now, Kamaisa Batal Achronaisa Mosifin. So now what? So all the dates that are already there in Megillas Tanis are nisbatel. And what are you going to do? You're going to add more days to a defunct document? To something that's not in force? So the Gemara says, "Hachem by my skin, but zman shebeis hamikdash kayim." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but you know what we could do? We could, of course, defend Rav, and we could say that we're talking about in a time where the Beis Hamikdash is kayim, and since the Beis Hamikdash is kayim, so even according to Rav, Megillas Tanis is still in force." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so we're talking about during the Beis Hamikdash. Got it? Okay, so now let's revisit. What are we describing over here? The third day of Tishrei, where it becomes now an exciting day because again there was the Shtaros, where people wrote Shema Shema, and the Chachamim pleaded with people not to do so. And on the third day, Tishrei, of some year, during Bai Sheni, so they listened to the Chachamim. And the Chachamim said, oh, let's make today Yom Tov. The third day of Tishrei. So the third day of Tishrei, during Bai Sheni, so what did we learn in yesterday's daf? It already is a Yom Tov. Which Yom Tov is it? The Yom Tov of the murder of Gedaliah ben Achikam. I know that sounds strange. Right, myself took me a while to wrap my head around this Gemara. Meaning, what's going to bother the Gemara right now is that now it becomes a redundancy. Meaning, because we already have a Yontif on the third day of Tishrei, so why do I have to add another Yontif for the third day of Tishrei? Now, the murder, the death of Gedaliah ben Achikam, that's a Yontif. So yeah, in other words, remember what we learned yesterday's daf. So bizman shalom. So when we have an autonomous nation with the Beis Hamikdash, and meaning during Bai Sheni, so these days are Yontifs. It's only after the Churban Beis Hamikdash where these days now convert from being a Yontif to being a Tzom. Okay. So if in fact we're talking about during Bai Sheni, so then to add this day to Megillas Tanis becomes redundant, and that's going to be the Gemara's question. Good. V'tepikle, we're now in the top of Yud Tes Amud Aleph. V'tepikle davale, yom shenei harag bo Gedaliah ben Achikam. So why do I need to add this to the days of Megillas Tanis when now it becomes redundant? So Amarav, lo nitzvcha el alasar eshalafanav eshalafanav. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what it's going to do. What it's going to do is, it's not only going to prohibit fasting on the third day of Tishrei, it'll prohibit fasting on the second day of Tishrei as well. Why? Because as we're going to see momentarily, any day recorded Megillas Tanis, so you're not only not allowed to fast on that day in itself, but you cannot fast the day prior and the day subsequent. We'll explain why in just a moment. So the Gemara says, Shalafanav nami typically dahavala yom shalacha rosh chodesh. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. You're talking about now about the second day of Tishrei? You know what the second day of Tishrei is? It's the day after Rosh Chodesh. So aren't we not going to fast because it's the day after Rosh Chodesh? The Gemara says, no. Rosh Chodesh d'oraisa. U'd'oraisa l'bay chizuk. So the Gemara says, no, Rosh Chodesh is a din d'oraisa. So for a din d'oraisa, so yeah, on Rosh Chodesh itself, you're not allowed to fast. That, of course, is correct. But because Rosh Chodesh, and by the way, we're not just talking about any Rosh Chodesh over here, we're talking about special Rosh Chodesh, otherwise known as Rosh Hashanah. But again, Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh. The point of the Gemara is that if the day itself is a yantiv, or even quasi-yantiv, meaning, I know over here it's more than quasi-yantiv, because it's Rosh Hashanah. But even as Rosh Chodesh in of itself, but Rosh Chodesh is operating on a Doraisa level. So there the Chachamim didn't need to reinforce. Hey, don't fast on Rosh Chodesh. So because the Torah already describes Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, the Isra fasting is only on Rosh Chodesh itself, not for the day before, not for the day after. So if we're looking at the second day of Tishrei from the perspective of the first day of Tishrei, you would be allowed to fast on the second day of Tishrei. But now that the second day of Tishrei also borders the third day of Tishrei, and the third day of Tishrei now is a day found in Megillas Tanis, for that you can't fast on the second day of Tishrei. And the Gemara just simply establishes this rule. D'tanya b'lanta n'braisa yamei ma'ilak suvim Megillas Tanis asurim b'im l'fneim b'in la'achareihem. Any day that is recorded in Megillas Tanis that has this quasi-yantif status, so not only are you not allowed to fast on that day, but also the day before and the day after. Shabbos v'yamim tovim heim asurim lefneim v'lacharim mutarim. Shabbos yantif, you can't fast on Shabbos yantif, but you are allowed to fast the day before and the day after. And ma hefresh bein zeh lezeh alalu divrei Torah ve'ein divrei Torah tzrichim chizuk, and alalu divrei sofrim ve'divrei sofrim tzrichim chizuk. And the explanation is really simple. Daraisas don't require further reinforcements. A derabanan, so that requires more chizik, it requires reinforcement. Good. So now, if we're following well, so it comes out now that the reason why the third day of the third day of Tishrei is now a day recorded in Megillas Tanis, even though it seems like a redundancy, the Gemara is arguing right now it's not a redundancy, because what it does is it impacts the second day of Tishrei. second day of Tishrei won't be impacted by the first day because the first day is a din d'oraisa. And so therefore, now what we're doing is that we're adding the third day of Tishrei into Megillas Tanis, the third day of Tishrei of Ad Karasa, Minshtaraya, that yontif, so to say, that was added so that it would affect the second day of Tishrei. So the Gemara says, V'tepekle davla yom shalifnei yom shenarek bo gedaya ben achikam. So the Gemara says, I still think it's a redundancy because let's remind ourselves, what is the third day of Tishrei before this new yontif came about? So the third day of Tishrei was the yontif of Gedaliah ben Achikam. Again, I know that sounds strange. Out of context, it sounds like crazy talk. But the yontif of Gedaliah ben Achikam, during Bayit Sheni, it's a yontif. So now the yontif of Gedaliah ben Achikam, isn't that going to impact the second day of Tishrei? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Vashi Gedaliah ben Achikam, divrei Kabbalah, hu b'divrei Kabbalah k'divrei Torah damu. So the Gemara says, it's not going to impact the second day of Tishrei. Because Gedaliah ben Achikam, even though it's not a din d'oraisa, it made its way into Navi. So go back to yesterday's daf. Remember, we learned in yesterday's daf, the Pasuk in Zechariah describing that there's a fast day that occurs in the seventh month, in Tishrei. And that's the reference of the fast of Gedaliah ben Achikam. Since it finds its way in Navi, the Gemara describes it as divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah vis-a-vis this particular discussion is going to be like Divrei Torah. Doesn't need Chizuk. But days like Ad Karasa, Minshtaraya, a day like that, that requires Chizuk. That is a Dinder Abanan at its core. Mesiv Rav Tuvi Bar Masna. Once again now, let's reset. What we're litigating is the following. There is Megillas Tanis, various days that are recorded during Bayit Sheni, and let's assume also a little bit after Bayit Sheni as well, days in which we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for many miracles and even some major miracles that occurred during Bayit Sheni, in which we're not allowed to fast on those days, and some days we're not even allowed to eulogize. And the question on the table right now is that after the Churban Bayit Sheni, so are these days still in effect, or are these days no longer in effect? So that's what we're litigating right now. So here we go, another round of discussion. And once again, we're going to be quoting, Be'esrim v'tamnia bay, on the 28th of that month. So if we were reading, if we had a Seder right now in Megillas Tanis, so we know which month we're talking about because, well, you know, we'd be following a Seder. But being that we're thrown into Megillas Tanis, so what day are we, which month are we talking about? So it happens to be that I got Rashi. So it's really helpful. So we're talking about the month of Adar. So on the 28th day of the month of Adar, so Asas Besurta Tavasal Yudai. So good news came to the Jewish people. Delo Yidun Ma'araisa, where we're not going to be lost from the Torah. Shagazra Machus Gzera Shalai Yaskab Torah, because the Machus came and gave a Gzera. Now, this is occurring when historically? Okay, so hold that thought, because that obviously becomes really important. So right now we know it's some sort of Roman decree occurring sometime right now, TBD, to be determined. So, Gzera Shalo Yaska B'Torah V'Shalo Yimolos B'Nem V'Shiyachalu Shabbosos. So the Gzeras included threefold. Number one, not learning Torah. Number two, no Mila. Number two, and number three, you can't observe Shabbos. Ma'asa Yehuda Ben Shamua V'Chave Rav. Oh, so right now, this is going to be a great historical marker because we now know the name of the Tana who gets involved. That's Yehuda Ben Shamua. So he goes to a woman who is visited all the time by Roman governors. And Amar Lan Bo V'Yifgina B'Laila. So she says, okay, good, Hafkana. Okay. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you know what Hafkana is. Okay. It's a protest. So she says, and do it at night. Halchu V'Yifgina B'Laila. Okay. What is the benefits of Hafkana at night? I'm not sure. But anyway, but do it at night. So Amru Ishamayim, lo achichem anachnu v'lo, b'nei avachad anachnu v'lo, b'nei ema achaz anachnu, manishanina mikol umma v'loshen shatem gozrim aleinu gzeros kashos. So the Hafkanah, so we're learning now the chants that they made at the Hafkanah, right? And they basically said to the Romans, like, we're cousins, right? We're more than cousins. Meaning, right, originally we were brothers. Yaakov, Esav. So, right, and now, you're going to make decrees against us. Do you understand that we're family? Okay. Loose translation of the protest chant, but okay. So, ubitlum. And somehow, some way, so all this was successful. So, v'oso yom, asu yomtov. So on this day, so they made it into a yomtov. Okay. So now, what are we seeing right now? So the 28th of Adar. So another day that was recorded in Megillas Tanis. And when did this happen historically? Well, now we know. We're just going to we're gonna put a couple pieces of the puzzle together, but now we know when it occurred historically because we have a name attached to the story. So the Gemara says, Isa, Kedach, Abad, Lamigilas, Tanis, Kamais, Abad, Achronais, Mosifin. So as we're about to point out, this occurred after Bai Sheni. If you maintain, like Rav does, if you maintain that Megillas Tanis is Nisbatel, it was nullified after Chorm Bai Sheni, so let's get this straight. So we nullified all the days and now we're adding days to a nullified document? Like, that doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, V'chitem Achanami Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim. Oh, and I know what you want to say. What you want to say is that, well, maybe this event occurred during Bai Sheni. The Gemara says, but it's not true. V'ha Yehuda Ben Shemua Tamidash Rabbi Meir. Because again, the name over here in the event was Yehuda Ben Shemua. Now, we also happen to know that he was a student of Reb Meir. And we also happen to know, here's where we put all the clues together, so we know that Reb Meir lived after Chorm Bai Sheni. How do I know that? So Reb Meir was a student of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva himself lived during the Chorm Bai Sheni. And well after as well. Right? Right? They have Rabbi Akiva dying towards the beginning of the second century. So we're well after Chorm Bai Sheni. Reb Meir's a student of Rabbi Kiva, and this Rabbi Yehuda ben Shemua is a student of Rabbi Meir. Okay, so we're after Chorm Bai Sheni. It's impossible to argue otherwise. Now, Rabbi Meir Basar Hachiyava did none, and the Gemara now is just simply going to teach us the following, and that is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Shemua was a Talmud of Rabbi Meir. How do I know that? So we're quoting a Mishnah, we're quoting a Brisa. We said this back in the first parak in Shabbos. Kli zechuchish nikvu vihitif lasochan aver. So let's say I have a glass utensil. It had a hole in it. We filled in the hole. We filled it in with lead. Lead is a metal. And so Amr Shimon Gamliel Yehuda ben Shemua matame mishum Rabbi Meir. And so Rabbi Yehuda ben Shemua says in the name of Rabbi Meir. As far as we're concerned right now, that becomes the critical point for us to focus on. That Yehuda ben Shemua is quoting Reb Meir because he was a student of Reb Meir. So now we just have Rav Yehuda ben Shemua being after Reb Meir. Okay, and the question now becomes, is this kli going to be Tameh or Tahor? So he quotes in the name of his Rebbe Reb Meir that it's Tameh, and v'chachamim etarim, and the chachamim say it's Tahor, and I'm not going to do this right now, but I encourage, go through the Rashi right now. Rashi gives not one, but two different pshatim in terms of what exactly the issue is. A glass kli that's filled in, that has a hole in it and filled in with a little bit of lead. So what exactly the issues are over here? What is the machlokus between Rav Yehuda ben Shimon and the Chachamim? But being that the relevant point to our discussion right now is just establishing that Yehuda ben Shimon was a Talmud of Rabbi Meir. So right now I'm just going to focus on that one singular point. And now what comes out over here is that this episode that's recorded in Megillas Tanis clearly was post-Chorban Bayis Sheni. And meanwhile, now we're adding a day. So now we're going to reset the question. How could it possibly be that Megillas Tanis is Nisbatel? It's nullified after the Bayis Sheni, and now we're adding a day to the defunct document? Can't be. So the Gemara says, Tanaihi. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to have to say, it's really going to be our only way in defending Rav, and that is that the Amoraim are arguing whether or not Megillas Tanis is Batel. So do the Tanaim argue this as well. Okay, so in other words, this is a older machlokus. And the Gemara quotes a Brisa, D'Tanya. As we are now on the topic of your testament base, Ayamim Ma'ilo, Aksuvim, Megillas Tanis, Bein Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, Bein Bezman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Asurim Divrei Rabbi Meir. So according to Shitas Rabbi Meir, Megillas Tanis is in force both during and after the second Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, Asurim Imnesha, Simcha Hi Lahem. Ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Utarim Imnesha, Evil Hu Lahem. And so, according to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, depends. If during the Beis HaMikdash, so then Megillas Tanis is in effect. If after Chorm Beis HaMikdash, Megillas Tanis is no longer in effect. So basically, what do we learn together? Not only is it a Machlokas Amarayim, meaning our starting point of today's shir, is that it was a Machlokas Amarayim. Itmar, this is where we started off this morning. Rav and Rabbi Chanina say, Batla Megillas Tanis. Rav Yochanan, Rav Yeshua ben Levi say, Eino Batla. And now what we learn together, as we are already on the Amud Beis of the same discussion, is that it's a Machlokas Tanaim as well. The Hilchasa, the Gemara is going to conclude. Bitlu, Vehilchasa lo Bitlu. So is Megillas Tanis been nullified? So the Gemara says, Allah is, it's been nullified. The Gemara says, Allah has been, it's not been nullified. Okay, are you confused? You should be. So the Gemara gave us conflicting views of what the accepted halacha is. So the Gemara says, Hilchasa, Kasha, Hilchasa, Hilchasa. Obviously, the Gemara knows the obvious problem. You seemingly got to pick a side, and we just went on both sides of this issue. So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, Kan B'Chanukah, Purim, Kan B'Shar Yomei. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. If we're talking about Chanukah and Purim, so those days, which are recorded in Megillas Tanis, so those days are still in force. That is the, that's the part of the Megillas Tanis that we still retain. The days that are not going to be retained and not going to have any halachic implications is going to be every other day. That's mentioned Megillas Tanis. Okay. And I do not want to give off the impression that I've gone through Megillas Tanis. I have not gone through Megillas Tanis. My only working knowledge of Megillas Tanis is the days that that are brought up within the Talmud Bavli. Okay. Like today's daf, for example. So today's daf, for example. So we went over a number of occasions that are found in Megillas Tanis. Obviously, that's relevant to our discussion, right? The Gemara Tanis, which Mirtz Hashem we're getting to soon enough. So the Gemara Tanis goes through also a number of different days. But in addition to those days, there are many other days that are mentioned. Just happens to be that I myself have not gone through it. Anyway, what comes out now from the Gemara over here is that the days of Megillas Tanis that retain any kind of status are only the days of Chanukah and Purim. I'll ask the question, I've heard a lot of answers to it, but I'll just simply ask the question, if that's in fact so, now what did we put together a couple things we learned this morning. So we learned this morning that the conclusion is Megillas Tanis is Nisbato, with exception to Purim and Chanukah. We also learned this morning that any day that's recorded in Megillas Tanis, so it's going to be not only us to fast on that day, but also on the day before, and the day after as well. So what we're not allowed to do is fast the day before Chanukah and the day after presumably after the 8th day of Chanukah. In other words, because these days are midrabanan, so therefore they want to make chizuk ledevrayim. Ostensibly, that would also mean the same thing should be true for Purim as well. Meaning for Purim, so what does that mean? Since these days are recorded in Megillas Tanis, so you're not allowed to fast the day before, nor the day after as well. So you should be fasting the day before Purim. What does Klal Yisrael do? Ah, so the day before Purim, we fast. Okay, so you take all the information that we learned this morning, and now we're able to ask what seems to be a pretty good question, and that is, how is Klal Yisrael fasting the day before Purim? Now, the answer is because we do fast the day before Purim. But how do you understand that in the context of what we learned this morning? Okay, good. That's the question. I heard a lot of good answers. Happens to be, I'm not going to go over them right now, but just, you know, it's really a thought-provoking question. Al elo mimnei Rosh Hashanah v'al tishrei mimnei takanas ha-mawados. Okay, we're back to our Mishnah. So again, those months where it's critical that the shluchim go out. So they go out in Elul because we need to know which day of Rosh Hashanah to observe. They need to go out in Tishrei as well. Okay, so the Gemara. Kevin the Nafke lehu a Elul al Tishra lamaluhu. So if the shluchim already went out in Elul, so now we know with certainty which day Rosh Hashanah is. Now I say with certainty. I would like to walk that back just a little bit. Remember the Rashi we learned yesterday? Let's go over the Rashi. I'm going to go over the Rashi outside, not inside. But Rashi said yesterday, so what do we know? We know that there are two candidates in when Rosh Chodesh can be. Either 30th or 31st day of the previous month. Meaning the previous month is either going to be 29 days or 30 days. So now we know when Rosh Chodesh Elul is. So we know when Rosh Hashanah is. We know what the first day of Tishrei is. No, we don't know. It could be either the 30th or the 31st day of Elul. And meanwhile, the shluchim go out in Elul because we'll know which day of Tishrei to observe. Which day to observe Rosh Hashanah. How do we know? So what Rashi taught us yesterday is that we're going to be basing it on probability. Right? Rashi says that the vast majority of the years, Elul was a chaser. It was not a malay. Elul was 29 days. So when operating in the blind, the B'nai Galus were operating in the blind, they simply didn't know. In other words, there's no way that you can inform the B'nai Bavel what day is based in Mekadesh, the first day of Tishrei. So over here, once they know which day is the first day of Elul, so then you're going to operate with the probabilities. The probabilities are the vast majority of years of Elul's are a chaser. So you operate with probability. Then what happens is that the shluchim go out after Tishrei as well. Why? Well, that's our Gemara's question over here. So Rashi in yesterday's daf already gave the answer away. But we're going to see it clearly in our Gemara over here. Even though for Rosh Hashanah, we operate with probabilities, but that is just simply out of necessity. meaning what else are we going to do? There's no other solution. Ah, but when it comes to Yom Kippur and Sukkos, if there is a way to clarify, which there is, meaning send out the shluchim, so then we're going to send out the shluchim for Tishrei, so just to make sure to know with working knowledge which day was the first day of Tishrei, so that Yom Kippur and Sukkos will be observed on the right day. Good. Everything I just said, we're just going to read that in our Gemara. Our Gemara is going to basically make those points. Now, Kevin the Nafke Lu'al al Tishrei Lamaluhu. So why are they going on Tishrei? V'chitem adam avru la Elul. So the Gemara says, what do you think they did? You think they made an extended Elul, an Elul of 30 days, which means that the first day of Tishrei is the 31st day of, you know, what would be Elul? Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Chinan Abarkan, Amar Rabbi, Miyamos Ezra Ve'elach Lamasino Elul Mu'ubar. So the Gemara says, you know, you go all the way back to Ezra. Ezra was at the beginning of Bayesheni, and Elul was always a chaser. It was always 29 days. Okay, always. And meaning, you're talking about hundreds of years. So, like I said, so from a probability standpoint, Elul was a chaser. Delo itzerecha, itzerech ma'avrinanle. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's only because it wasn't necessary. Meaning for all those years that Elul was a chaser, it's because it's just simply there was no need to go ahead and to extend it. But if they would have needed, they would have done it. So the Gemara says, Hamakalka Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, okay, but what comes out now is that once we send out the Shulchan and Tishrei, and if in fact they needed to be Ma'aber Elul, and now the Edom are going to go out there and tell everybody, oh, by the way, the Elul this year is Malay. I know it's strange. I know it almost never happens, but it happened. So now what happens is that you're basically telling everyone you observe the wrong day of Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, okay. Mutav tikalko Rosh Hashanah v'lo iskalko l'kula ma'ados. So the Gemara says, okay, but fine. It'll just simply have to be a sacrifice. Meaning, yeah, you're telling everyone they observe the wrong day of Rosh Hashanah, but better that happened rather than observing the wrong days of Yom Kippur and Sukkos. And Dekanami Diktani, Al Tishrei Mimei Takana Samawado Shmamina. In fact, everything we just said, you could read it right into the Mishnah. Because what did the Mishnah say? I'm sending out the Shluchim. Why am I sending out the Shluchim? Because of Takanas Hamo'ados. Because we want to go ahead and if necessary, right, we're going to add those words into the Mishnah, and if necessary, we're going to correct the Mo'ados. Meaning in the event, in the rare event that Elul turned out to be not a Chaser, but a Malay, so now we need to tell everybody, you need to adjust. Yom Kippur this year needs to be adjusted by one day. And Sukkos also needs to be adjusted by one day. Okay. Read that into the Mishnah. The Alkisav Mimnei Chanukah Val Adar Mimnei Apurim. V'ilu Nisabra Hashanah Yotzen Af Al Adar Sheni Mimnei Apurim Lo Ketani. Again, conspicuous absence in our Mishnah of an Adar Sheni. Meaning, our Mishnah said that there are 6 months of the year where it's critical Shluchim go out to inform the people. Okay, you know what was not mentioned in our Mishnah? Adar Sheni. Meaning, obviously, Adar Sheni doesn't come up every year. It comes out about every third year. But still, it's not missing in the. It's missing in the Mishnah, and why doesn't the Mishnah tell us? And it's seemingly that's important information, meaning people need to know when when's Rosh Chodesh of Adar Beis, because in Adar Beis we're going to be having Purim, and people need to celebrate the right day of Purim. So the Gemara says, Masisin Deloka Rebbe, Detanya Rebbe Omer Im Nisabra Hashana Yotzen Af Al Adar Sheni Mimnei Purim. Now it happens to be that Rebbe in a Braisa is clearly of the position that that's exactly what we would do. We would send out Shluchim and Adar Beis so that people would be observing Purim on the right day. To which the Gemara now says, we now have a machlokas. Our Mishnah, by leaving Adar Beis out of our Mishnah, clearly is of the position we're not sending out Shluchim for Adar Beis, and Rebbe in a Braisa says we are. What's a machlokas? So the Gemara suggests the following. Marsa for Kometzos on August Bashini no August Berishon. Umarsa for Kometzos on August Bashini ain't no August Berishon. So the question is, and we're going to be dealing with this in the beginning of Masechta Megillah, and that is that in the event that there are two Adars this year, so it's an Ibriyar, so this year there are going to be two Adars. So which Adar is the quote unquote real Adar? I mean, they're both real. But which one are we going to be observing Purim in? The first Adar or the second Adar? So what we're going to learn together in Masechta Megillah is that it's a machlokas. Okay, machlokas tanaim, I believe. So over here, what the Gemara is suggesting is, yeah, it is a machlokas tanaim. So over here, what the Gemara is suggesting is, this is exactly that machlokas. meaning if Purim needs to be observed in the first Adar, so then I don't need to send out Edim for Adar Beis. I don't need to send out Shluchim for Adar Beis. Because why do people need to know when Rosh Chodesh is? It's not, people just need to know that they made an Ibriyar. Now in a moment, we're going to ask her, I'm going to share with you Tosos' question. But anyway, but that's all people need to know. If on the other hand, the observance of Purim is during Adar Beis, Adar Sheni, so then obviously it becomes critical to know when Rosh Chodesh of Adar Beis is. Okay. So this is the Gemara's now, suggested explanation of the Machlokas. Let's just finish up the Gemara, and then I'll come back and I'll go over Tosos. Lo, dekulei ama mitzvos noagas b'sheni noagas b'rishon. So the Gemara says no. Really, the observance of Purim occurs in other Beis, not other Aleph, right? We'll see this here. Meaning, right? And Baruch Hashem, we've had this happen numerous times. It's about every third year. So when there's two Adarim, so the Purim is observed in the second Adar. Yes, in the first Adar. So we're not going to be saying Tachanun on the 14th and 15th of the first Adar. But in other words, but the observance of Purim itself occurs in other Beis. The Gemara says, you know what the machlokas is over here? Is that when in fact we're adding another Adar, so how many days are going to be the first Adar? Meaning, is it going to be a constant or can it fluctuate? As the Gemara is about to teach us, that's a machlokas. The Tanya. So a machlokas between the Tanayim. When in fact we're adding an Adar Beis, what do we do with Adar Aleph in terms of the number of days that it is? So according to the Tanakama, it will be a 30-day month, period. Okay. Why? I don't know. But doesn't matter. In other words, according to the Tanakama, it's a 30-day month. And Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Chodesh, he says, nah, it's a 29-day month. So at which point right now we think that they're arguing as to whether it's 30 or 29, but the Gemara says, well, now wait 1 second. The Gemara says, well, whichever position you take, it is a constant. So once it's a constant, so now, for both positions, there's no need to send out Shulchan for Adar Beis. Meaning, if Adar Rishon is in fact a constant, whatever the number may be, so then everyone knows when Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis is going to be. So Amar Papa, Manda Amar Chodesh, Ratzah Chodesh, Ratzah Shloshim. So the Gemara says, well, we misunderstood. Rav Papa says that the position of Shimon Gamliel, when he said the word Chodesh, normally, and we're going to see this a couple times in our Masechta, the word Chodesh means a month of 29 days. Over here in this context, Chodesh means, could be 29, could be 30, meaning it fluctuates. Once Adar Rishon fluctuates, so now we need Shluchim to go out there for Adar Beis, otherwise we're not going to know. Okay, so that's the machlokas between the Tanayim. Do I send out Shulchan for Adar Beis? It's a machlokas. What's the Hezber machlokas? Is the first Adar going to be operating on a constant or is it going to fluctuate? If it operates on a constant, so now once I know when Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph is, then by definition, I'm going to know when Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis is. If, however, Rosh Chodesh, if Adar Aleph is not constant, but it's a variable, so now I need Shulchan to go out for Adar Beis. Okay, Adkan. And just to finish up a little bit more, Hey, Rav Yeshua ben Levi Mishum Kala Kadisha Dirushlaim. So, a testimony that was given by Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Al Shnei Adarim Shemekashim Osam B'yom Ibu Rehem. So, when am I going to be Mekadish them? So, I'm going to be Mekadish them on the 30th day, meaning that they're both going to be 29 day months. Yom Ibu Rehem means that you're Mekadish on day number 30. See Rashi for why that is, but that's what it means. So Lamemer de Chaser Mavdina Malayan Law Avdinan. So the Gemara says that means to say now that the two Adar Merchaser, they're both going to be 29 days. And La Fuge Midarish Rav Nachmar Chista. And that goes against Rav Nachmar Chista. Hey Rav Simai Mishum Rabbi Chag Mishum Chag Zachar Melachi, Al Shne Adarim Shem Rasal Asosim Shne Malayam Osim, Shneim Chaser Mosim, Echad Malav Echad Chaser Osim. And meanwhile, testimony that was given going all the way back to Chag Zechariah Malachi, right? Nevi'im, who lived at the beginning of Bais Sheni. So they say that, look, it's an open field. You can make them both Malach, you can make them both Chaser, you can make one Malach, one Chaser. V'kach yinog, noag b'golam, mishum Rabbeinu. Amru lo'olam echad Malach v'echad Chaser, ashivad l'chashuk v'rosh chodesh b'zmano. And they quote b'shem Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu over here is a reference to Rav. So the default assumption is that one's going to be Mali and the other one's going to be Chaser, and until you know for certainty that there was any kind of deviation. Okay, so an array of positions in terms of how to set the months of Adar Aleph and Adar Beis. Are they both going to be Mali? Are they both going to be Chaser? Are they going to alternate Mali Chaser? Is it open to variation? Okay, so the Gemara ended off the daf today with a lot of opinions on this particular matter. Tomorrow we're going to continue a little bit more on this particular topic, but here's a decent stopping point to pause. Okay, let's quickly recap. I didn't share the Tosfos this morning, but okay, another occasion. Okay, let's quickly recap. The big part of today's daf was Megillas Tanis. So we know that there's a document called Megillas Tanis in which it goes over the various quote-unquote Yomim Tovim, quasi-yantifs that occurred during Bayit Sheni, and we can even say, by the end of today's daf, we can even say, even after Bayit Sheni, days that were mini-celebrations, right, mini-nisim, and some of them not so many, that occurred to Klal Yisrael, basically, during this tkufa, during this era. Good. And during these days, you're not allowed to fast. Some of them are even more exciting. You're not allowed to eulogize during these days. And now the question becomes that after the Churban Bayit Sheni, is this document still in effect? Do the days still have the quasi-yantif status about them? That is basically our Gemara today. Rosh Hashanah Daf Yates is really a question of whether these days are in fact Yamim Tovim. Okay, and your mnemonic for today to remember, write yantif, write your tests. Okay, good. And so where do we land on all this? It's a machlokus. Not only is it a machlokus amaraim, it's a machlokus tanaim as well. The Gemara's conclusion, right? That's the fast pass to summarize the first part of today's daf. And the conclusion is that most of Megillas Tanis is nisbato, with notable exception to Purim and Chanukah, days that are recorded in Megillas Tanis that are still in effect. Good. Our next discussion of the Gemara is that they go out in Elul and they go out in Tishrei again. Once they go out in Elul, so is there a need to go out in Tishrei? Gemara says yes, because even though the vast majority of the time Elul was a chaser, nevertheless, if it was necessary to be Ma'aber Elul, so people needed to know, they observe the wrong Rosh Hashanah? Okay, they observe the wrong Rosh Hashanah. In other words, for Rosh Hashanah, there's simply no other choice, meaning they have to operate and work with the assumption that Rosh Hashanah was 30 days after Rosh Chodesh Elul. But then if a correction is needed, a correction is needed. And that's why they would send Ashluchim for Tishrei. And the last thing that we discussed is that notably absent from our Mishnah is Shluchim going out for Adar Beis. Our Mishnah doesn't mention it because Shluchim are not going out in Adar Beis. So why not? And on top of that, Rebbe is of the position that Shluchim would be going out in Adar Beis. So what we gave is two pshatim in terms of what this machlokus is. Our first pshat is which Adar are we observing Purim? Is it number one or number two? If we're observing Purim in number one, there's no need to send Ashluchim for Adar Beis. Because what are we observing during Adar Beis? If, on the other hand, we're observing Purim in Adar Beis, so now we need Shluchim to go out. That was one explanation. The Gemara didn't like it. The Gemara ended up saying that, no, L'kulei Amma, we observe Purim during Adar Beis. So what's the Machlokus? The Machlokus is predicated on, is Adar Aleph going to be a fixed number of days, or is it going to be a variable? So if it's a fixed number of days, so now we don't need to send out Shluchim for Adar Beis, because once it's fixed, and once I know when Rosh Chodesh for Adar Aleph is, by definition, I'll know when Rosh Chodesh for Adar Beis is. If, on the other hand, it's a variable, so now, even though if I know what Adar Aleph is, I still need Shluchim to go out for Adar Beis.